There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow.
Is that culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Yet again. They couldn't stop us. They couldn't stop us. They tried.
We forgot to book a guest yet again. That's what you mean.
I don't know if we forgot to book a guest as much as I'm just enjoying my time with my sister lately.
Absolutely. I think I'm having another, not that it's ebbs and flows or there's like, you know, revisiting phases of like, oh, I'm in my honeymoon with my sister.
Yes.
But I think it's been a sustained many years of just thinking, I appreciate the girl. And I don't mean to say that, you know, disaster will rear its ugly head.
Oh my God. We hope not.
Or were you? Sorry. And that was just my long-winded way of saying that I've been loving my sister.
I was actually thinking about you, well, all the time. But yesterday I was thinking about you because I am in Chicago right now. I'm recording live from Chicago. Everyone, thank you so much in Chicago that's come out to my show.
One of the best cities.
And do you know what memory I was telling Henry about the other day, which I realized I had never told him because I think it even predated Henry.
Is this going to Berlin and the man you went home with?
No, not him. Although we did talk about him and I had told him about that because that was just a moment in time. What I was remembering was, do you remember when we came with Pop Roulette to do Sketchfest?
Yes.
And the time I was just talking about this with Rachel, Amanda, and Sudi, who also were in Pop Roulette, like the other night when we all had dinner. But do you remember the time when we came to Chicago and we had a huge deep dish pizza moment, like before a show? And I'm not even kidding you. Like, we were so full of cheese and shit
and
poop.
We were very stoned, and then we went to go to like a Giordano's, which we love.
Yeah.
Everyone loves to rag on Giordano's. We happen to love it still. And we went that night and we ate so much deep dish pizza before our show at Sketchfest.
Oh my God. Do you remember just like there was choreo in the one song, Beautiful Young? Remember Beautiful Young?
And we're like hopping.
It's just us jumping up and down. And you could feel everyone hit the ground on every jump, like
slosh, oh, slosh, slosh. Oh, oh.
It was just, we were full of cheesy, shitty poop.
Oh my God. Was that the same year as my dinner?
My fucking dinner. I think that was the night of my fucking dinner. Because that was the night where it took so long for our fucking dinner to get there that I was like, I can't wait for my fucking dinner.
Matt went into this like mobster voice or something where he was like a mobster/goomba who kept saying, better give me my fucking dinner. Ha ha.
That was true.
And it broke me. And then we went back to this. We stayed at that horrible, it used to be a Days Inn. I think it's a nicer hotel now.
Oh my God.
I've forgotten what street. I'm like Diversity or something, or like across from Trader Joe's. And we were so stoned after the show that we watched like some CNN documentary on the 70s. And the entire time, Matt was stayed in the my dinner, haha.
I don't even remember watching that.
I remember. And I remember crying in laughter anytime you did my dinner, haha. And that was one of those moments where I was like, this bitch is the funniest bitch on the planet.
Girl, no, that was the stupidest bit. But I do remember, I just will never forget that night of. Well, the fact is I had forgotten it. I hadn't thought about it in so long. And then I was just walking the streets the other night and I'm like, oh my God, it was like sense memory. I could feel how full we were. And we were doing our like jump up and down choreography. And do you remember we got off stage and it was like a race to the bathroom. We all had to shit so bad because we were shaking all the cheesy deep dish pizza in our bodies during the choreo and singing, which we had to sound so bad because we could barely breathe because of all the cheese and poop.
Oh God. We've learned so much. We've come such a long way since, just in terms of, we would never do that to our bodies now, I don't think.
Never again. Now I'm just like, I don't know about you, but even the littlest piece of like garbage food that I eat, I feel in my body now in a way where it's like, oh, no wonder I felt like I could conquer the world at 23 eating deep dish before a show. Now it's like, no.
What did you do to prep for the show last night?
Well, you know what's weird? I've become kind of a shut-in lately because I just really don't want to abuse my voice. Like, I really want to make sure, because I have to do 11 shows all December. And the thing is, I'm not even being obnoxious, like, you know, vocalist type. I'm just like, I just know that I want to be able to get through the shows and it's important for the comedy that, like, it's sung well or whatever. Yes, and so, like, I'm just trying to be literally as boring as possible. And drinking a lot of tea with honey. Like I said, I'm off the sauce of marijuana. It's really helping. And now, after my show tonight, tomorrow, I have a whole day and night in Chicago. And I'm wondering, what are the things I should do?
Gosh, it's been a while for me. There's just so many things to do in Chicago. But if you don't...
Yeah, it's one of the best cities.
It really is one of the best cities. If you like have time to go up to like Andersonville or something, it's like it's more of like a residential gay neighborhood.
Yeah.
As opposed to Boys Town, but like there's lots of cute bars there. But again, if you're off the sauce, even though you referred to the sauce as marijuana earlier, if you're off the sauce with alcohol as
well. No, I'm not. After the show, I will have a couple cocktails. Oh, okay. Then darling dear.
Go up to Andersonville. There's a cocktail bar there. I'm sure our Chicago readers are shouting the name right now. Mm-hmm. But just Google like Andersonville cocktail bar and get a martini there. It's delightful. And then, you know, are there friends in town?
You know, Henry. Not really. Henry's here, but he's leaving. So we're recording this on Monday. He's leaving tomorrow. So I have all of tomorrow to myself, which I kind of love. I kind of love the experience of just being in a city by yourself, going, walking, doing the thing. I miss being cold as much as weird as that sounds.
Chicago's so a solitary great place person. For that.
Yeah.
I know, and this is just in reference to what we talked about last week with, you know, you thinking that Sudi may have subtly thrown shade at you, but I think you could go to a museum.
Mm-hmm.
If I would love to. Perfect solo activity.
Yes.
Yes. Or watch a film that's in the, awards race.
Well, I have something to say about that.
Yeah. Please tell us if you want about your experience watching West Side Story 2021.
Yeah. I got to see West Side Story 2021 a little bit early. And I don't know if you've been like sort of keeping up with the Oscar race of it all. We talked a little bit last week, but I have a feeling this is going to come in and clear the deck because, oh my God, is it good? It's so good.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
It's like, well, let's just first say, because we're still trying to lure her to the podcast, Rachel Zegler, she gets the end introducing Rachel Zegler like moment at the end, like in the credits. And honestly, I had forgotten that she hasn't done a million things just because she's such a natural as Maria. And it's such amazing casting. Her voice is unbelievable. She's got chemistry with everyone on screen. she just really cuts through. I mean, you saw in the trailer when the shot of her in the gym, like you, this is a superstar.
Oh my God. This is very exciting. A major way.
It's really exciting.
Very exciting. And she's a little monster. She is a reader.
Oh my God.
She,
all the titles.
All the titles. I mean, she's a reader as far as I can tell. She always, you know, DMs me shit that we say on the podcast. And I'm certain she heard us calling for her last week. And I'm sure it's just a thing where maybe it's, you know, fucking publicists being like, maybe not. That's my only theory. As
you know
to why
what, though? We have to get the official ask out because we haven't actually done the official ask. So we're going to talk to her.
My thing is, I'm this close to just DMing the child.
You should.
And saying, hey, come on, we're going to have a great time. It's not going to be like, we're not going to like try to like get a moment out of this. It's not us making it like I don't think we do this podcast to make headlines ever. I don't think the lovely thing about this podcast is that we don't make headlines. Yeah. The only headlines that we've made are that I think Andy Cohen is banned me from Watch What Happens Live, which is not even true. And I keep perpetuating that for myself against my own interests. But I think Rachel should come on and have a great time.
We would have an absolutely fabulous time. And I'll say this, like, she is unbelievable in the movie. The takeaway from it for me, yeah, when I left that theater, I felt a whole different way about Ariana DeBose.
Love it.
Because here's the deal. When I heard that Ariana DeBose was cast as Anita, I was like, huh. Because I've only seen her in things like The Prom. And, you know, in Schmigadoon, she's literally playing like the buttoned up like school teacher. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she's got a kind of like a thankless role in The Prom. So I thought, is she going to be able to, you know, is she fiery? Like, does she really like have it in that way? Oh, my God. I think that Ariana DeBose in West Side Story is the best performance in a movie musical since Catherine Zeta-Jones in Chicago.
I think it is. Oh, my God.
It's a slam dunk, people.
Of course she has that spark. I mean, she was Donna. She was Donna in the Donna Summer musical.
And I knew that, but I didn't see it. Did you see the Donna Summer musical?
I didn't, but I just think, you know, that was kind of my like, just that credit. You can't like flop in that role, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm sure, like,
you may not.
I was not going to doubt her as Anita at all. Not that I'm not saying that's what you were doing, but like, I was like, this seems pretty solid. Like, I couldn't think of anyone else who I know of who could play that. But I mean, I love it. I'm rooting for Ariana all the way. Queer legend. She seems great.
And you know what's an interesting fact? If Kristen Stewart wins Best Actress at the Oscars, like they're saying she might, and if Ariana gets what she deserves and wins Best Supporting Actress, then two queer women will win the Oscars this year. And that would be very cool.
That would be very cool.
She is literally, I mean, Bowen, I didn't really connect that. I knew she was a Tony nominated actress for the Donna Summer musical. I didn't connect, or I didn't know. Did you know that she was on So You Think You Could Dance?
No, but I think she did Google that. Like, that came up in a Google search at one point, like fairly recently. That's so cool.
Like, she dances so incredibly well. And it's like, remember, like, this is like, you know, all the best of the best are going to be in this movie. And when I tell you, she like sears through the screen. I saw, I was next to Joel Kim Booster and he turned to me and he was like, I mean, she's absolutely killing it. And I think we forget sometimes, like, the role of Anita in West Side Story is maybe the best, one of the best roles for an actress.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the plot entirely hinges on things that happen to her and like the way she reacts to things. And there is a breadth of emotions that you have to play in this part. Your comedy has to hit. You have to hit, like, in terms of like your sex appeal, your dancing, your musicality, all of it. But then it gets really
real. Yeah.
It gets really real. And she dramatically slayed it. And it was kind of cool because at the end of the movie, when, you know, after, I'm sure I'm not ruining West Side Story for anyone, but Anita gets assaulted in the movie at the end of the movie. And so in the new West Side Story, the role of Doc is now played by Rita Moreno, who plays Valentina, who's his widow. So she essentially is playing that role. And so it's her that's the one that chase all the men away that are assaulting Anita. Mm-hmm, and it almost feels poignant in a way.
Yeah.
And then Rita Moreno, who's amazing in the movie, and she sings Somewhere in the movie too, which is like a really cool change. But she has this moment where she turns to all them, and I don't want to give away what she says, but it's just like feels very full circle and sad in a way that's I think really impactful. And you know, Steven Spielberg is Spielberg for a reason, bitch. I mean, it just is what it is.
Name another legend.
But really, though?
No, I'm saying, I'm not even being ironic about it.
I didn't say you were, honey. I'm agreeing with you, and I'm saying, but really, though. Because honey, sometimes when someone says something, you can say, but really, though, as an affirmative, and that's a rule of culture. It's rule of culture, what was it?
52.
Sometimes when someone says something, you can say, but really, though, as an affirmation.
The man is a legend. There's not much more to say than that.
When I tell you that he's directed the following films.
Go on.
West Side Story 2021. Jurassic Park.
That's right.
Honey, Jaws.
Honey, E.T.
E.T. Heard of her?
Heard of her?
Maybe not lately, but if you think for even a second, you remember the doll who came down from the alien heavens and made her way with a Reese's Pieces and into the hearts of millions.
Lincoln.
One of the tallest gays. That's a rule of culture. That's rule of culture number 40. Lincoln.
One of the tallest gays. I mean, between him, I really, again, this is a lot of directors, but I really appreciate a director who is as sort of, what's the word, like successful as him, but also like prolific. versatile,
and dynamic.
There are directors who are prolific, but not versatile. And I think like the only two I can think of right now are like Spielberg and like Ang Lee. And there's, of course, there's so many others. Yes. But I just think like those are two directors who like can do it all. Yeah. And I think they like going after things that are very different from one another. And I think Spielberg has always done that anyway.
I also think like even in his very mainstream fare, like in his mainstream efforts, there's something real at the center.
All of this stuff is mainstream, of course. But yeah. There's something real.
Yeah, by nature of being a Spielberg movie, it's going to come out and people are going to be seeing it. But he's not shy about putting messages in his movies. I don't think.
Right. I mean, you heard it here first. Steven Spielberg is good. Rule of culture number 7.
Steven Spielberg is good. He actually is very good. And I mean, the thing is, he fucking knocked this out of the park. What's your experience? I'm wondering, though, because you were a child of Sound of Music, as we famously got to the root of really a year ago when we did the 12 Days of Culture and we did one on When Jaws Ate the Girls. Mm-hmm. And we sort of had one of our, I think, best discussions. One of the best narratives was about how I was a Jaws child and you were a Sound of Music child. Were you also a West Side Story child?
I was not really a West Side Story child. Mm. I was introduced to it in school.
Yeah.
In middle school. I'd always known about it. I knew about like I Feel Pretty. I knew about When You're a Jet. I knew about America. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make sense to me until we like studied Shakespeare in middle school and like our teacher, Mr. Bott, who hated me, but he was this like hippie man who, and he like every year he did for the eighth graders, he did a 60s unit and it was so fun. And like every group did like a 60s, like a project on something in the 60s. I kind of got steamrolled into this group where Vicki Reese Jones made us do, Vicki, if you're listening, hi. I think she made us do a Pink Floyd. We did something on Pink Floyd. I still have no affinity for Pink Floyd whatsoever.
Yeah.
Love the Dolls, but were never for me, still aren't for me.
I don't love the Dolls. I don't love them.
Everyone else got to do like, you could do anything from the 60s. So like you could do like, like I remember someone did like I Love Lucy or just Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
Because I guess I Love Lucy is kind of technically 50s
she
into 60s.
Sort of, you know, bleeds into that.
Yeah. But like you could do like anything from the Vietnam War if you wanted to be a boy about it. You could do like obviously people did the Beatles, but like it was so fun. Anyway, West Side Story was part of the Shakespeare unit and it was just like, and my mind had been blown. It was my first time like I think it was like around that time, like I watched Into the Woods, like the PBS like recording of it and West Side Story. I was like figuring out who Sondheim was. And I was just kind of like really like naturally proselytized into like the legend of West Side Story.
That was all fascinating and interesting, but I need to circle back to one point because it's one of the other lost culture narratives that I'm sort of discovering. This teacher's name is Mr. Dobb.
Mr. Bot.
Mr. Bot.
B-A-T-T. Okay,
and you said he hated me. And can I just notice a pattern?
A lot
about
of teachers
you?
Who hated me?
Yeah, what is this? Like, do you have it in your head that a lot of your teachers hated you? Or were you a little shit?
Because I was a little shit. And no. I got like, at home, I was like kind of boring, kind of a weirdo. Didn't really like, I just wasn't that social. And then I would get to school and I would like, just let it all out. Like I really, the way this kid was able to bisect his life, compartmentalize it down was really crazy. And so Mr. Bot really disliked me. Oh, this was seventh grade. Okay, seventh grade was Mr. Bot. And then eighth grade, the teacher who hated me was Mrs. Fox.
Wow.
Mrs. Fox really hated me. She was this like young, gorgeous science teacher who was about to get married. She was such a good teacher, but she kept like a clipboard, and each class, a different student had the clipboard. And if you misbehaved, then like the person would have to like mark you down, like put an X next to your name. And like, you got many X's. I got so many, but Miss Fox and I loved SNL.
Oh, so
I would bring in like clips of SNL tapes. And we would like laugh and watch them together. I was such a weird fucking
kid.
So
you think that maybe school and the fact that she was your quote unquote teacher maybe got in the way of you and Ms. Fox. Do you know her first name?
Amy Fox.
Amy. I think that Bowen and Amy, there's a story there. There's a story that we never got to hear, which is a friendship between Bowen and Amy. And I think the tutelage of Mrs. Fox and Bowen, I think it got in the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I for sure. What were some teachers who you bummed heads with?
Here's the deal. I used to get all the time. So this is weird, but like, I actually was a rather serious kid when I was like in second, third, and fourth grade. I took school very seriously. I think subconsciously I knew I had something to overcompensate for, which was gay. And so I have a coach dad and, you know, expected a lot. And so I had like a good deal of, you know, being that kid that raised his hand first and being annoying, sort of Rachel Berry disease, if you will, always looking at everyone's grades, kind of being annoying. And I remember I had this teacher, Mr. Dumagard, and I was a huge Mets fan and I would come with my Mets jerseys all the time. And he was a Yankees fan and we had like that fake animosity, but I loved him because he was so much fun and made me
what
laugh.
What did he teach?
He was my general teacher in fourth grade.
Oh, fourth.
Uh-huh. At the end of the year, he said to everyone, he said he gave everyone one different piece of advice. He pulled us all out in the hallway.
That's interesting. Okay.
And he was like, I have something to tell you all. It's different. It's personalized. I have one thing I want to leave you with that I've experienced working with you all year. And so he pulled me out in the hallway and he said to me, he was like, you need to have more fun. Not everything is so serious. He's like, stop taking everything so seriously because I can tell that you want to have a lot of fun, but there's something that's not letting you and you can let yourself have more fun. And I literally took it. I was like,
yeah,
he's right. I have to have more fun. I'm fun. Like I know that about me.
You've been bon vivant ever since.
And that's when I started to get the comment on my progress reports, socializing disturbs learning. I would get railed by my teachers for talking too much, being too fun, I think. And they just couldn't take the heat, Bo. They couldn't take the heat.
Girl, literally sister life hashtag.
Literally sister life hashtag. They could not take either of our heats. That's what it was.
I think you and I always think about this. I always think about this hypothetical in the past. Uh-huh. Would we have gotten along in school? I think the answer is, I still think it's no. I think we would have like been threatened by the other.
I don't know about threatened. I think we would have had an in-school rapport. that would have been really fun. And then
we wouldn't have hung out outside of school, you think?
Well, you did different things than I did. Like, I was very much like involved in like a athletic circle, and you did more theater, and like I feel like probably were a lot more interested in like actual things that mattered, like school. And didn't you do improv in high school?
I did improv in high school.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't interested in any of that because we didn't have that. It was like you either did sports or you went home, or you did theater, but I wasn't doing that.
Mm.
So I don't think our interests would have crossed. But right. In school, mama, I think we would have been doing bits and not even knowing what bits were.
Oh, see, that's so sweet.
I know, it is.
Oh, you would have been homecoming king at my school. You would have knocked me out of the spot.
See, I don't think that's true because I think that we would have different voting bases. I think that people that vote for you would not have voted for me, and who knows?
Who knows?
The only thing we can do now is have a runoff. And you're going to win.
No. That's so crazy.
Everyone tag who you think is homecoming king out of me and Bowen. And it's okay.
I think I actually think a lot of the listeners are more emotionally connected to Matt because he makes them actually. I don't think I make people laugh on this show.
That's not true, Bowen. You're so stupid and a fool.
I think I'm kind of like the audience surrogate being like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I don't think I'm the one here like making jokes. Like
that is foolish.
Being magical in my output. Everything that comes out of Matt Rogers' mouth is so beautiful and funny.
Shut up.
It's a crazy skill. Crazy talent.
First of all, that's because you don't even need to try so hard to say things that are funny and impactful. Sometimes just under your breath, you'll say something brilliant and I'll hear it later, like listening back to the pod. And I'm like, wow, that was so good.
The impact is always the phrases people remember are always Matt Rogers originals.
That's a fact.
No, it's okay. I don't think it's a competition. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you this, though. I'm already out on the road for like literally one day.
I'm so excited
to be meeting all the readers, everyone that's coming out to the shows. I'm obsessed. Everyone is so nice and so kind.
We love the readers.
Like, genuinely, like, it's just I can just tell that it's going to be a really fun month getting to meet all you guys. And you might even see Bo and Yang at one of the shows if you're a lucky audience member.
I can't wait. My favorite show.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. Bowen, we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline. Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
You know, Bowen, I sleep well.
And I know you do.
I attribute that in many ways to the mattress that I sleep on.
We both sleep on the Helix Midnight mattress. It's given us sweet dreams aplenty. And the Helix lineup offers over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts everywhere.
Say it again. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Your personalized mattress is shipped right to your door, free of charge.
Everybody's unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Unique girl, the way you sleep is perfect. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. That's helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Speaking of what we're really talking about each other, which is mutual respect. Okay.
Okay.
Guess what I watched on a plane?
What did you watch?
The film Respect, which was about Aretha Franklin. Did you see this?
I did not.
You should see Respect starring Jennifer Hudson as Aretha Franklin, because here's another thing. Like, I think my thing with Ariana DeBose was like, oh, I don't know. Like, maybe she's not right for this part. And then she blew me away. Jennifer Hudson, I've seen act many times. I think we've all seen Jennifer Hudson act many times. Mm-hmm. And we all have different opinions on her acting. But after you watch Respect, you can't really debate Jennifer Hudson's acting anymore. She is acting this part all the way down.
All the way down. I have never... I'm one of those people who is always, always marveling at Jennifer Hudson's acting.
Team J. Hudd.
Team J. Hudd. Oh, I'm so happy. Wait, because wasn't she supposed to sort of... Wasn't she sort of in the conversation last year for awards?
Well, this is the sort of thing that happens with the quote-unquote conversation, is that movies, like, come out early in the year, and it doesn't really matter how good they are because they're not coming out at the time
the right
of Oscars
time.
Consideration. Yeah. Because I feel like if this movie comes out, like, this month, and everyone sees Jennifer Hudson this month when people are talking about the Oscars, then there's, like, probably no question that she gets nominated. But it's like this with the movie In the Heights, too. I thought In the Heights was amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
And no one's talking about it. And, like, talk about great musical performances. Like, Anthony Ramos in the Heights is unreal and doing things that the other girls aren't doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And no one's talking about him. So I think just timing is so important.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Chu will win his Oscar with Wicked, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, and did you see that sort of just what I thought would happen happened, which was, and I think this might have been your Lisa Barlow-esque plan all along, is you wanted to plant the seeds of discord about the casting of Bowen Yang as Bach, and you wanted to plant the seeds so that the fans would be like, oh my God, it is really a good idea. And
fans,
now what's happening? Yes, they do, Bowen. And now what's happening
care.
In the comments of the Instagram, it's saying, it's tagging John M. Chu and saying,
no!
John M. Chu, John M. Chu, John M. Chu. And you got exactly what you wanted, Lisa Barlow.
No, I'm not being, I resent that. I'm so not, I have lost respect for Lisa Barlow after this week's Salt Lake City.
We have to talk about this week's Salt Lake too. Oh my God, the zoo.
The zoo. Mary M. Cosby must be I mean, I think we have to exile her. She must not
crazy.
Be. She can't be near anybody.
It's crazy that just a year later, after the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 days of culture. Rather, we are having to remove Mary from this place in the Lost Culture canon because talk about a loose cannon. I mean, you never know where the woman's coming from.
So after she calls Heather chubby, but before she says, she says that either Whitney or Jen reminded her of a thug, like one of those quote unquote Mexicans. Like, there was a moment there where Mary was like yelling at the group, like particularly Lisa or Meredith about like, and it really just made no sense what was coming. Like really grammatically, mentally made no sense where she was like, she's not going to tell me what the group thinks of. Like literally I'm quoting her. Like I was like, this woman is not well.
And there's something going on.
And it actually like, it's hit a peak. And like, okay, so Joel Kimbooster sent you and I the mid-season trailer and mm-hmm. we're all talking about dissecting it, being like, oh my God, this is so great. And you know, what an incredible season. Mm. I really have for the longest time thought, I think it's getting bad with watching Mary now as a viewer because it's not fun for me anymore. And I think after this week, it's no longer fun for me.
See, I would counter that by saying I had a very fun time watching the episode and I did laugh out loud multiple times, which I can't say for every single episode. It's been so engrossing lately. It hasn't really been funny. But in this episode, right. I truly was laughing out loud several times. I find that
Whitney is the reason why I'm like invested. Whitney is a star for all time.
Star.
Mary is like, it's really like capital letters hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mm-hmm. fucking like 30 Rock movie. Like it's so, it's really tough. And she's just this like bad person. I'm sorry. And she's like bribing people with shit.
Here's the thing about like, so for people that don't know, apologies, but basically some other person in like that's like, you know, attached to their friend group that used to be a member of Mary's church, who's now passed away. Cameron died.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Cameron died. So you can't get any information about his experience now. All we have is what he had said on the show. So basically, here's what happened. So this guy used to be a member of Mary's church and left the church. Like, and it was not good. Like, it was like, he now says that he experienced quote unquote religious trauma as a result of being in her church. And when he brings that to Meredith at this event, she's really uncomfortable because she's friends with Mary and she doesn't know what to think. So this ends up getting twisted and turned. And finally, it's at the point where it's like, so much has been said about her church and like, the way that she runs the church or whatever, that it's been called a cult. And the fact is, like, none of us can ever really know that that's true unless more people come out and say things. And he was the only one who said something. And now they're saying that basically his illness that led to his passing may have resulted in him not being clear about what he was saying.
Oh.
So now the narrative is, everyone that doesn't want to believe that he had quote unquote religious trauma in Mary's church is like, well, remember that Cameron was very ill and his ability to remember things and articulate his actual emotions and feelings may have been impaired. So
dicey though.
I mean, that's the perspective that like Meredith is taking. That's the perspective that Mary is taking. Well, and so now it's like split the group up into factions.
Can I say something about Meredith?
Yeah.
Oop. Like, clearly someone who really cares about loyalty, and like that's why she's siding with Mary in a lot of this, is because according to Meredith, Mary was the only person who like didn't spread rumors about her and Seth in season one. And I'm like, is loyalty that important to you that like you, I just, it's disappointing because it's like shit that like she, it's like, you know who else like is obsessed with loyalty is Jen. You know who else is mm-hmm. obsessed with like status in the same way as Jen. Like, they, like Meredith and Jen are not that dissimilar to me.
Just like from a macro point of view, if someone says that one of their top things is loyalty,
it's such that a red
is
a flag. Red,
that is a huge red flag. Because why?
Do you care about loyalty? I don't give a shit about loyalty. No.
I mean, here's the thing. If you did something really wrong, like yes. If I found out that, I don't know, what's a crime you could possibly commit?
That
if I found
like,
out, go ahead.
What, that I like committed wire fraud on the elderly? Like, what right. would you say?
Like, if I found out that you were preying on people, I would be like, hey, I think that this is really wrong. And yeah. You know that I care for you and love you, but I want you to own up to this. And I also want you to get help. Like, and I'm not going to stand here and excuse any part of what you've done. And also, I wouldn't think that you would want me to do that. Likewise with me, like if I was ever really in trouble, would I want you to be there for me? Yeah. But also part of being a friend is, I think, holding people accountable and then helping them see how they can improve. But also, like, if someone is a harmful person, if someone is a criminal and there are victims, like, that's, at that yeah. point, it's different. And to see Heather's blind loyalty to Jen is really weird. And I know she's like the hero of the show, her and Whitney, but not one of these people is like morally clean slate at this point, because the loyalty of it all, the word that keeps getting thrown around, it's just really
even
odd
like on
to
Beverly,
me.
On Beverly like, Hills too. Yeah. Like when someone is in a really tricky situation like this, legally speaking, mm-hmm. loyalty comes in at very weird times, and it makes me like lose respect. Like we're saying, like for the people who like bring it up, and I'm like, I don't know. It's very, I don't know. Like all of these women now are like, except for honestly Whitney. Mm-hmm. Whitney is the only one that I'm still like would hang. You know,
I think that Lisa saw a fracture in our friendship and swept in order to control me.
Wow. Vanessa Bayer found dead. Vanessa Bayer's impression of Whitney Rose found dead.
Whitney is cracking me up.
I love her so much. What a great person.
There's only one Wild Rose.
Fraud. I have the fucking chills.
I have the fucking chills.
I mean, I have a sugar daddy. So many good quotables.
So many great moments.
She's risen to the top. She's risen to the top.
I think she's one of the best. I mean, between her and Wendy, that's the tie for best housewife.
Also, it's so funny to me that like Jen Shah is like not on this season at all. Like it's like we haven't even got.
I mean, I think like obviously the last few weeks have been her like sorting things out. I think based on the trailer, the mid-season trailer, like she's coming back in full force.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely coming back in full force. And I just like how they all get in a room together again, I don't really know. This trip to Vail was absolutely insane. Also, just like, I can't stress enough. Like, and probably one of the funniest scenes of the season was Whitney being like, you guys all got
gifts. What did you get?
And then they all went around and said what designer gift they got from Mary, who's sitting there in the, I have to say, the most hideous clothes I've ever seen. Time and time again, wearing the most hideous clothes I've ever seen.
She's not okay.
That's another red flag, though. When someone calls themselves a fashionista, that's a red flag, too.
And they dress like that. And
if you call yourself a fashionista, no, you are a walking red flag. Don't tell me that loyalty is important to you. That makes me feel like you've done something wrong, but I have to be loyal to you through the thick of. And if you say you're a fashionista, that is placing a really high bar. It drives me nuts. Like these women who are like obsessed with fashion, they show up wearing looking like Sutton. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, poor Sutton. That's tragic. I mean, we call ourselves culturistas, and we don't know shit about culture, but we know that about ourselves. It's ironic.
The irony jumped out.
When you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
The clown comes back to bite. I'm waving my pencil around.
I thought I remembered that line from Charm School, Monique. Thank you. The first time in a long time. And I laughed and laughed at how perfect it is. Perfect television moment.
It's simply perfect. Pretty much everything that Monique did on that season was amazing. Although, you know, it is like she really was cashing a check.
Of course. But I miss that. I miss that era of reality TV that ended so abruptly after that guy on Megan Wants a Millionaire was found out to have killed someone. Yeah. And that they couldn't do any more of those shows. And you didn't. And I think that really was like VH1, like, won the lottery with those shows. Like, yeah. It became their, like, you know, the challenge where, like, I Love Money became like the challenge, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, I really miss that era.
Yeah, I think the problem with that era was that it was very exploitative. And pretty much what's happening now is 100%. You met icons. I mean, it birthed Tiffany New York Pollard. Like, we have to give it its props. But I think that unfortunately what they were not doing was checking to see if these people were actually batshit insane.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, when you cast reality TV now...
Now like, I think are you looking for insane people. Like, Mary is such a controversial topic, and I think the Bravo world...
Yeah,
and like the universe of it all, because you're like, is it worth it? Like, I don't know. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, I think they're looking for people who are crazy without being a danger. Because that's the thing is, I think that in that old era, like, some of those people, if they looked even a little bit further, they would see, oh, this person is potentially a danger.
Yeah.
Whereas Mary, I don't think is a danger. Then again, we don't know necessarily. You think she might be a danger?
Cult stuff aside, I just think she's a dangerous person to have on television.
Can you unpack this?
Because she's like a virulent racist. Like, it's very clear now. Like, it's like, I don't want that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want... This woman isn't fun to me anymore. And she's like calling Heather like chubby and all this shit. And I'm like...
I didn't like that.
I really didn't like that. I'm sorry to sound like...
No, yeah.
Thin-skinned. But it's not even that. It's just that, like, I am not enjoying this person. And my thing with Housewives is it goes such a long way when I enjoy the people. That's why Potomac is my favorite. Even though I don't like some of them, I mostly like all of them.
But they're the worst with body shaming. And we stand Candace, but she's certainly said some uncouth
things. Candace has said some uncouth things, but then, like, I don't know. Candace is very complex. Candace also was roundly humiliated on this reunion in a way that might be karmic. Who knows? There are things that, like, there are comeuppances that are just big and small enough. The stakes aren't too high on Potomac. Salt Lake feels like the stakes are very high.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it. I know you love it. I love it, too. But I just think, I don't know. I'm like, there's something about Salt Lake this season. Like, it like is no longer like that enjoyable to me. Jen Shaw stuff aside, Jenny's a full flop. I'm so sorry. Jenny just once again, like, there was a moment where, like, I think it was after they had the conversation and Meredith is talking to Jenny about something and Jenny was like, just like agreed with her in a way that was so uninteresting. And I was like, I think I said out loud, I was like, Jenny, once again, not adding anything meaningful to the conversation. Like, when has she like ever like chimed in and said something that where you're like, oh, wow, never, not once on this damn show.
I think in the beginning of the season, when she was initially telling her story about how she came to America and also like,
incredible life story. I just think she's a bad, I don't care for her on television.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely true. I would say that she does not offer anything we saw like, there's in that Coming Attractions where she like slams a glass on the ground in front of Mary. I'm like, I'm also over them breaking things. I don't know.
Jen did that last season and it reeked of like staging and desperation. And I'm just like, yikes.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Have you watched Tick, Tick, Boom yet?
I haven't. I'm so bad. I gotta watch it. I'm really behind on culture.
I only say because there's a song called Come to Your Senses and Tick, Tick, Boom. And it's really a moment. And it's a duet between Vanessa Hudgens and Alexandra Shipp. And can I just say, I think I'm way back on board the Hudge train because I just saw her Architectural Digest and she's got a beautiful home. I thought she was amazing in Tick, Tick, Boom. And I'm like obsessed with Vanessa Hudgens.
I mean, I get it. And like, I think, you know what I think has aged very well, unfortunately, and this is not for me to say, but I believe that this has aged well is it just in terms of like an iconic moment in early COVID but you know, I mean, maybe I shouldn't be doing this is amazing.
I think, I mean, people are going to die, but isn't that like inevitable?
Inevitable.
Maybe I shouldn't maybe be, doing, be doing this. She's like clearly like wine drunk, like on her Insta Live.
Plastered.
I thought you were going to say when you hit that shablam.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's like,
I'm so into Voguing right now.
Well, it's that was important because it was able to like, everyone was able to zero in on like the type of person she represented in that moment, which was like a cis woman, straight, let's say, who like was just kind of like, I don't know, trying on these different terms for size.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and shablam is like not an incorrect term for it.
That is what it is.
And
she's
so,
got a dance background, an extensive dance background. Right. You forget, she's like a musical theater machine. That's why she gets cast in all this stuff.
Like, I just think she's, I've always thought she's great.
I think she's fun. And I've also heard that she's fun. Like, I don't know her, but I know some people that are friends with her. And apparently she's like a very, very, very good vibe.
When you have a song called Sneaker Night,
this is what people don't talk about enough.
A good vibe. Yeah, go.
No. I'm saying like people don't talk about Sneaker Night enough.
Sneaker Night is like one of the ultimate getting ready songs.
Sneaker Night is, it's a floor filler.
It's a floor.
It's a anthem.
It's a pregame classic.
It's a pregame classic. It's forget about pregame. It's during the game. You can put it on. You know how many times like out in LA, like we've put on Sneaker Night just to like make sure that everyone can get on the same page.
And people fucking calibrate to that shit. They're like, oh, it's a Sneaker Night. Got it.
I mean, listen, I've been to parties that were Sneaker Night themed. Okay, I've seen what they haven't done, which they must do, is there must be a Sneaker Night lip sync on Drag Race. Sneaker Night is one of the most famous songs that no one talks about.
They were singing it at weddings,
at funerals,
at graduations, at funerals.
Children were singing the
song. Children were singing the song.
I Sneaker Night, even from the beginning, put your sneakers on, we're going dancing all night long. Just from the very beginning, like the sort of breakdown that starts it, I'm like, whatever that is. I got somewhere to be.
Wow.
It's so good.
I think.
And Vanessa Hudgens was the artist.
Yeah. She is. People forget. She is an artist.
She has lasted. Like, I remember I was watching the Architectural Digest and I'm like, this house is beautiful. How does she afford this? And then I remember she's booked for decades.
Since like 2007 or whenever High School Musical
literally
came out. Oh my God. God bless her. We are rooting for her always.
Well,
and what a journey. And no one ever forgets that her father passed away. Before Grease Live.
I think the day before.
The day before. I mean,
yeah,
is that not insane? And she
truly. Wow. I also think, like, just to like bring it back, like she's so good in Tick Tick Boom, and there's a song called Therapy that she does with Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield is another one. He's so good. Like another Drag Race guest judge.
Oh, so and yeah, just great.
He had never sang before Tick, Tick, Boom. And this is, I want you to see it because like, I would love to know what you think because his voice sounds so good.
Mm.
And for me, he's my favorite male performance of the year. He was also great in Eyes of Tammy Faye, which I saw. Did you see Eyes of Tammy Faye?
I have not.
Oh, see, that's camp.
Okay. Right there. Yep. Great. Love it.
Good camp. I loved it.
We love Searchlight Pictures too.
Yes, our distributor.
Our distributor for Fire Island. We actually, you know what? Let's try to talk about the movie as minimally as possible before it comes out.
Well, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Oh, okay. I have seen
it. I honestly think it's not fair for us to talk about it.
No.
I think people should just like think of it, judge it for themselves, you know?
No, that being said, I would like to have some people from it on the pod. Like, you know what I mean?
We're going to have people from it on the pod for sure. But I just think, like, I don't want to, like, press my thumb on the scale too much in terms of the release and, like, what people say about it. I don't want to really have anything to do with that.
No, I think that we learned from shooting it, it's best to try to remove ourselves from it.
Yes.
As much as possible.
Yes.
But it's coming, and one of us has seen it, and our reviews are under embargo at this time. Okay.
There you go.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Do you need to be part of the next pop culture moment? Are you scared of missing out on once-in-a-lifetime experiences? From can't-miss music festivals to international fashion shows to your favorite celeb's favorite restaurant, staying in the know can be so expensive. Don't let your finances hold you back from living your best life.
Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper.
Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com to start living yours. It's Intuit.com. Let's get into it.
So we are thinking about making this a little bit of a shorter episode because I am trying to not talk super, super much. So what do you think, Bo? Should we head to I Don't Think So, Honey?
Let's do it. I love it.
All right. This is our 1 minute segment where we take 60 seconds, which is a minute, to rant and rail about something in culture that is grinding our G-E-A-R-S. And I spell that like sort of like you would have Gwen Stefani spell the word bananas. I'm sort of doing that now. Here with the word gears. All right, so Bowen Yang is going to go first this week. Bowen, you have a topic. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. NyQuil. You taste like shit and you don't work most of the time. Flop. Mm. And listen, you ain't Coca-Cola, so get out of here with that cherry-flavored shit. Mm. That's cherries reserved for icons only, okay? NyQuil, you're busted. You come in the little syrup, and then we gotta take a shot of you, and then hope for the best, give it up to God, and then you wake up the next morning. How many times has this happened to you? And you go, well, that did nothing. I swallowed that disgusting acetaminophen syrup for nothing, didn't I? So let's just, I think we get NyQuil out of the conversation. NyQuil is no longer canon in terms of medicine. NyQuil is basically homeopathic medicine at this point. I don't care. Put it in with the flowers and the florals and the herbal stuff.
5 seconds.
It's just as ineffective. if not more. NyQuil, you're done.
And that's 1 minute. NyQuil, more like I will find something else.
Girl.
I just popped
you
off.
You just came up with that?
Yeah, hon. Right genius. Off the cuff.
Genius
queen.
You know what? I think it always succeeds in making me want to go to sleep, which I always appreciate when I'm not feeling well at night.
Sure.
It definitely does put me to sleep. Is it decongesting me? You know, I don't know. I don't know what happens while my eyes are shut, darling.
I don't think it's doing any of what it says on the label.
Well, DayQuil's worse.
I just think Vicks really needs to restructure.
Ooh.
Have the layoffs, mama. Lay off the people who like really scammed us and conned us with this NyQuil stuff. Because I bet they're still around. I bet they were back there during the 30s or 40s or whenever the fuck it was invented.
Mm. Pop off.
We need new blood at Vicks.
We need all new icons, okay? And NyQuil needs to get replaced.
I want Vicks to come out with a new line of everything. Ditch the old typeface. Give us like a bold serif font.
Do you ever put that Vicks cream on? Not cream.
The vapor rub?
The vapor rub. Ooh, that actually is amazing.
Sometimes. It really opens you up. Sometimes, but they can't be leaning on that too much. That can't be their only thing. They own NyQuil, which they do. I need to see them really make their product line consistent. And that's not what's been happening.
I didn't know that Vicks was like sort of this Rupert Murdoch type.
Yeah, like, I want to see
media empire of the sort of, vapor rub and decongestant industry.
There's a succession narrative there. Also, can I just say?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The concept. No. I know what you think I'm going to say, what you want me to say. I was just going to bring up family businesses in general. Being like, why are we still doing that? But that's just me. You want to talk about Succession?
I just want to say it's one of the most boring shows I've ever seen in my entire life. I know I have to give it another try. And I also know that everyone listening to this just like veered off the road through their phones, etc. It's not that I stopped watching. It's that I started the first season and I was like, okay, so I'm supposed to spend...
First season takes a long time. First season doesn't... It's one of those shows, and I know we're so past this now as a culture, but it's one of those shows that really picks up by the finale of season one. And then season two is, I think, perfect television.
Okay.
I think season two is so good. And I actually am controversially going to say that this season is not doing it for me in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is saying that this season is not doing it for them because essentially they're just regurgitating plot lines that they always have. And that feels like...
Well, because two, you had a Holly Hunter and a Terry Jones for a few episodes, but Holly Hunter really like makes you watch. Like there's something about her.
Holly is one of the greats.
Holly's one of the greats, but like season two is really great TV. And I think you should just stick it out until two. And then you'll fall even more in love with Sarah Snook and with Kieran and with them.
I'll say Kieran fucking rocks. And I did watch the premiere of this third season. And I thought to me, he really stood out.
He's
amazing.
In the best way. And I don't know. There was a really funny Gawker wrote this funny reaction to this profile in the New Yorker on Jeremy Strong.
Oh, I read the New Yorker profile today.
And that's all. We'll just leave it at that because I think it's very interesting.
Let's just say if you want to read about my least favorite type of person, then check out the New Yorker profile on Jeremy Strong, who sounds absolutely insufferable.
Jared Leto level? No, not quite.
But in that sort of vein where it's like, I mean, clearly everyone who works with him is like constantly bombarded by his like method tactics and he won't rehearse with anyone. He's cold to people on set because
he won't go in the makeup trailer the same time as anyone else.
He won't go in the makeup trailer at times. Probably this imagine? Is someone who is costing hours and also lots of dollars to cut around him just from a production standpoint. And that to me, that type of narcissist, straight male actor that does things like that, I think is a Mary Cosby level harmful.
Oh, so no, she is harmful. Stand it.
I mean, if you're saying on this episode that Mary Cosby is harmful, then I'm saying the
I'm
same
not saying
thing
she's
about
harmful.
Jeremy Strong.
I'm just saying she's like not fun to watch anymore, which is everything on a show like Housewives.
Right, 100%. I get that. I'm still having fun watching her, but I definitely don't like the things that she said in this episode that were, body shaming and like definitely racist. I mean, then even hearing that sentence come out of my mouth, it's like, yeah, that's pretty tough.
But there's no way around it. And we can't sweep that under the rug the same way that I think a lot of people swept under the rug her like crazy anti-black shit that she's said like on the show. I'm just like, why are we still like hooked on this woman like collectively?
She certainly likes to throw around the thing of calling people hoodlums and thugs, and that's obviously coded language. And she definitely, there's nothing for her to hide behind on this last episode, because she literally called Heather chubby and then said, Jen, who's a criminal, was quote unquote like a
Mexican.
That
was Jen. I think you of all people cannot be like Team Whitney and be like, but I still like watching Mary.
It's not that I like watching Mary. I think that she's still a valid part of the narrative. And I'm really, this is my thing, is it's like, if this is the way that the season is unfolding, then I can't wait for the reunion to watch them ask her, hey, what's up with all this language that you're using? Mm-hmm, what's up with it? Because it is racist and like it is like fatphobic and it is all these things, and then we'll see what happens.
It's getting too Ramona for me, is all I'm saying.
Yep, I hear that.
Anyway, that's it. You got one?
I have one now, yeah.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So Honey as Time Starts Now.
I Don't Think So Honey room service, because you take 3 hours to get to any hotel. It doesn't matter what hotel you're staying at. If you're staying at a 5-star hotel, if you're staying at a 1-star hotel, or even a motel that would have room service, it doesn't really matter how much money you spent, didn't spend, how close you are to the kitchen, whatever. The room service takes forever. And I Don't Think So Honey, it's also famously expensive. The hidden fees, the fact that they can get away with charging $19 for a simple cheeseburger even without fries. I Don't Think So Honey room service is the only one doing it as badly as they do it, these crooks, these criminals. I'm not gonna say where I am right now, but I'm in a lovely hotel, and I found out that their room service is through a third party, which of course adds 20 minutes. Room service is part of a third party. I Don't Think So Honey. It's already I Don't Think So Honey enough when it's in the hotel. All I want is a goddamn chicken sandwich with fries. It shouldn't take an hour and 30 minutes, and that's what it takes. And I Don't Think So Honey.
And that's 1 minute. I mean, at this point, room service is only good for breakfast, and then the rest of it, you just order like a fucking Uber Eats or Postmates or whatever the hell, and tip your delivery person generously. But room service has really flopped, especially since the pandemic. And in those early stages when the hotels would straight up just not do it. Mm-hmm. When it's like, okay, you don't get it through services, it's fine. Like, let's just make me the food, please.
You know, as someone who was in the service industry for a very long time, I'm usually someone who gives beyond the benefit of the doubt. Like, even if a server is like absolutely pathetic, if there's things missing from my order, I'll still tip 20%. But it's like, really hard when the reason that you're ordering room service is so you don't have to like leave your room. Like, you know, you need something at a certain amount of time. Like, you're trying to enjoy your experience, and then it just becomes a stressor because it takes forever. I hate having to call and check in on things. I feel so annoying because of my time in the service industry that I give the benefit of the doubt, but I can no longer give the benefit of the doubt for some of these room service experiences. It's like, Come on now.
Huh.
Anyways.
Unacceptable behavior. Okay. Well, I'm glad we checked in. This is a short one.
And still an hour. Still we can say the length of a podcast.
Yes. And I will say, and it's okay that we have these episodes where we're just checking in because we're both busy.
A little bit busy. And also the thing is, when a guest comes on, we want to be able to give the guest such
a
time and an energy and a focus. And so the thing is, like, it's we're trying to be considerate of everyone's time.
And you got to stay focused on you right now, because you're literally touring the country singing. And I have to, go through the motions at my job. So
By the way, congrats on your Critics' Choice Award nomination.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I did want to say big ups to Q-Force, who was nominated for Best Animated Series.
Big ups to Q-Force.
Way to go, Gabe. Yeah, and all the shows I worked on were nominated, so we love to
Amazing.
See it.
Other two?
Yeah, Best Comedy Series.
Okay. I was involved in that as well. Don't forget.
And that's really congratulations to you. Congratulations to both of us on the other two, second season. I mean, I can say it was our achievement.
It was our achievement. All right. Well, we close every episode with the song.
Yes, we do.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they are to be close to you. Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of six fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this cookie crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.